the microphone. Say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert. And welcome to the bunker, everybody. And welcome to Friday.
It is our... Yes, because it's our news rant up for the week. I say wrap up, but we generally wind up ranting, so it's a rant up.
Rant up, ramp up, wrap up.
Yeah, and we are recording this on Friday, March the 24th of 2006. Only one more Friday in the month of March, and spring is here. We're going to change time soon, and things are budding. The snow is mostly melted off the ground here in St. Louis. Lots of things to look forward to. And a lot of things to talk about tonight.
Yeah, there are a lot of things in the news today. And sadly, one of them has to do with the wife of the pastor, you know, who was found killed on Wednesday evening.
Mm-hmm.
She, of course, was found along with her three children in Alabama yesterday, and she has now confessed to the murder of her husband.
You might remember that we talked about this during last night's program. The news was coming out while we were recording the program, and without full details, we didn't want to say too much, but your gut feeling had to be, as you were reading the story, as they were discovered in Alabama, unharmed and not showing any evidence of violence to their persons, that something like this might be the result. And apparently she has now confessed to the crime.
Yeah. They need lots of prayer. Who knows what happened there? And we just pray that, you know, if this is something that, I mean, there are so many possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are talking heads on the news channels right now, and they're all coming up with this and that, and they've already tried and convicted her,
mm-hmm.
you know, and mainly because it's a pastor's wife.
Yeah, and when you've got 24-hour news cycles, I mean, news going around the clock on the cable news channels, and they just look at stories like this as grist for the mill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are going to overanalyze and speculate about things, and you can tell that they don't really know what they're talking about. I mean, we can tell just by seeing how they were referring to the pastor that the news commentators didn't all understand what was meant by the word charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
He was a charismatic pastor, and they thought that meant, well, he was very outgoing and friendly. No, charismatic pastor is a certain type of evangelical Christian.
Yeah, there's so many things they don't get. What they do keep droning about is, well, they should know better. This is made that much worse because this is a pastor and his wife. Well, those of you who know pastors, or perhaps you are a pastor or the wife of a pastor, that's an extraordinarily stressful occupation. And it's not unusual at all for there to be chinks in that armor.
Mm-hmm.
So that shouldn't be something that they're mentioning at all, but it is. So.
Well, it's hard to relate. Not being a pastor, but I can only imagine that when you're a pastor, you are under a lot more attack, but spiritual attack by the enemy.
Oh, you are. I lived with a pastor's family for a while, and I saw the extreme pressure they were under every minute of every day.
Yeah.
The kids had to behave a certain way. There were expectations on the kids. The wife was going under a lot of things because she had self... You know, she had goals that she had set for herself with regard to her demeanor at the church. And the church, of course, was constantly calling. That phone rang almost every minute of every day,
day and
night.
Right. It's like you've got a family and you're on call for not just your immediate family, your spouse and your children, but for the several hundred members of your congregation as well.
Yeah.
And there has to be some resentment on the part of the family, the wife and the kids, when the pastor is pulled away by the congregation's needs.
Yeah.
And it's all kinds of pressures there that those of us who are in the lay ministry, I guess, just can't relate to. So
not the Tom DeLay ministry.
No, that's a whole nother story.
Well, I want to go to another family story that's on Watcher Magazine today.
Okay.
Barbara Bush.
Oh, boy. I always thought she was a nice lady.
Well, you know, she probably... Well, I don't know this. She may not be a nice lady. She comes off like a nice lady, doesn't she?
She
like
sure does.
Everybody's grandma. But apparently, she made a donation to the Katrina, the Clinton Bush Katrina Fund.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And she earmarked it. She said, this has to go toward the company run by my son, Neil.
Okay, the one that was funded by the investors from Dubai.
Yes.
Okay, this is Ignite Software, the one that has all those contracts, No Child Left Behind Act contracts from the states of Florida, mm-hmm. where his brother's the governor, and Texas, where his brother used to be the governor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the Hurricane Relief Fund money that Mom donated has to go to his company to buy software.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what those people in New Orleans need.
I know.
They don't need their homes rebuilt.
No,
they need clothing.
Good software.
They need software.
Their schools don't exist, but hey.
Ugh.
I know. Apparently, this says it was specifically to go to schools that were with high numbers of Hurricane Katrina evacuees.
Okay, so kids who've been displaced and are now elsewhere.
Yeah, but...
but that has to be bought, purchased, they have to buy...
It has to benefit Ignite Learning.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's not just the software, because it operates on a specific hardware system, a specific piece of hardware, which also has to be purchased from Ignite.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Pretty stinky, eh?
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, as long as we're talking about the Bush family and ragging on them, let's talk about George's uncle.
Ah, yes. That's another family story. Mm-hmm. It's nepotism all over the place.
That's right. William H.T. Bush. It is reported now by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, collected just under $1.9 million in cash plus stock valued at more than $800,000. From the sale of Engineered Support Systems Incorporated to DRS Technologies of New Jersey. Now, again, these are more of those companies that are ambiguously named. And mm-hmm. I'm convinced that they picked these ambiguous names on purpose. You can't tell what we do, so you can't bust us for anything.
That's right.
Yes, we sold ESS to DRS and...
of course, ESSI is based in Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a $1.7 billion sale that closed on January 31st. The reason that the stock apparently for ESS was so valuable, or ESSI rather, was so valuable was because they have made all kinds of money retrofitting military vehicles and all kinds of expanded military contracts due to our efforts in Iraq and Afghanistan.
So in other words, they've made money off the war.
Yeah. How convenient.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It makes me a little nauseous.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the war and things related to, and the Bush family, so it's sort of a double segue
Dubai?
Here.
Dubai?
Yeah. Well, actually wasn't going to go there just yet, but I do want to talk about that Dubai ports deal. Right, because we've got some duplicity in the Dubai ports deal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got a lot to talk about there. Yeah.
A lot of good stories to get.
There is a lot of good stuff
yeah, well,
there today.
I was
and
out
again,
there really, really hunting.
You did a great job today. Sharon, by the way, is the primary editorial force behind WatcherMagazine.com, which is where we collect stories we think need to be attended to.
You go to WatcherMagazine.com and you see the news through my eyes.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm picking out the stories that I think are important.
Yeah. And Daniel Eaton, contributing editor, when he's spots something that mm-hmm. he feels is important, we'll kick those in. I'll kick in a few here and there. But, you know, primarily Sharon spends a good chunk of the day scouring the news so you don't have to. And she's pulled most of these, well, all of these together that we're talking about tonight. We've discussed this before, but I think it's worth mentioning again. As we talk about the Constitution and whether or not we still actually live under the Constitution, he sort of added his own little addendum to the Patriot Act II, before he signed it.
Mm-hmm. And at least he signed the one that was passed by both houses.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute, too. When he signed it, he very quietly added a presidential memorandum, a signing statement is what it's called, which basically says, here is how I interpret this law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So Congress can pass whatever law it wants. The president then adds this signing statement saying, okay, I know that this bill says this, but I don't believe that it really means I have to, for example, actually inform Congress about how the FBI is using the expanded powers granted under Patriot Act II.
Mm-hmm. Hmm, that sounds like he has something to hide.
Well, yeah, but the really disturbing thing is that the president feels, and what's doubly disturbing is that Congress isn't screaming about this.
I know.
But what's really disturbing is the president feels he has the right to just say, yeah, I don't care what the bill says. I don't have to tell you what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Signed, George W. Bush.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. No, did we elect a king? The president is supposed to abide by the law, and there have been attorneys from inside the administration who have publicly stated that they believe the president is not subject to the law as long as he believes what he's doing is in the interest of national security.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me? Hello? We're in the long war, the war that will never end, which basically means presidents from here on out can do whatever they want?
And you cannot criticize them, even in your personal emails.
Yeah, this is an interesting story.
That story really bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting a lot of play on the talking head circuit on
right.
Fox and MSNBC and CNN. Apparently, the White House slipped a copy of an email message that came from ABC, top executive.
A producer for Good Morning America's weekend shows,
mm-hmm.
Saturday and Sunday versions of Good Morning America.
Slipped a copy of this very personal email.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say personal because he was not writing this is your assignment
mm-hmm.
to do this, to Matt Drudge. Matt Drudge reported the story, and the story is that this email calls George Bush someone who makes this gentleman, Mr. Green,
mm-hmm.
sick because of his mixed messages.
It was during the debates with John Kerry, and apparently he sent a BlackBerry text message.
Yeah, so what?
A BlackBerry text message to one of his friends saying if the president uses the phrase mixed messages one more time,
mm-hmm.
because apparently George was accusing
yeah.
Mr. Kerry of
yes.
Yeah. And now this raises two questions. Number one, how did the White House get this
exactly
note?
Right. And two, why is this somehow allowed to be viewed as inappropriate?
Yeah.
Mr. Green has since apologized.
Yeah. Why?
For what? For his personal opinion?
And it's not like he was criticizing Mr. Bush and saying, Mr. Bush makes me sick. What he was saying is, if he uses this phrase again, I'm going to be sick. Now, you may disagree with that. You may disagree with his assessment
Actually,
of the debate.
Actually, he said Bush makes me sick.
Bush makes me sick? Okay.
Yeah.
I misunderstood the statement.
It doesn't matter.
But you're right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
He did not write it in a piece with the name of the company on it.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and even if he had it been an opinion part, what, you can't say what you feel anymore?
That's exactly right.
Here's the thing. We keep hearing that you're not supposed to criticize the administration
mm-hmm.
because we are at war. We're
mm-hmm.
in the long war.
Well, again, this is a war that apparently has no discernible end point. There is no definable victory
mm-hmm.
because we're fighting an idea. We're not
mm-hmm.
fighting a nation state that can
mm-hmm.
that we can say we have now defeated this. We're defeating a group that
we're
can
fighting evil.
Yeah, we're fighting a concept. Yeah, and you will never stamp out evil.
No.
So for the foreseeable future, which you know, when you look at this struggle, is like until mm-hmm. Jesus Christ returns, there will be the justification by whoever sits in the Oval Office to say, you can't criticize me because we're at war and you're giving aid and comfort to the enemy.
Exactly.
In fact, I think you're an enemy combatant, which means no due process, no writ of habeas corpus.
To me, this email, whole brouhaha, is very, very
yeah.
dangerous.
Now,
I mean, what you and I do
yes.
is no different.
Exactly.
Now, granted, we don't work for we're not mucky mucks over
at ABC. Right.
But we do have a public forum.
Mm-hmm.
We have what is a news magazine. We write our opinions.
Mm-hmm.
We're not at all shy about saying this is our opinion. So where does the line? Where is the line drawn?
Right.
Who can criticize the administration by simply expressing his opinion or her
right.
opinion.
And here is another example of an incident in which thinking Christians have to step back, quit listening to Rush Limbaugh, quit listening to to Sean Hannity and to Hugh Hewitt and Michael Medved, you need to step back and say, now, wait a minute. Do we live in a free country or do we not? Do we live in a country governed by a constitution with a Bill of Rights that guarantees me the right to speak freely?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we not?
Exactly. This is the kind of thing that our ancestors fought for.
Exactly. Exactly. And you cannot rationalize it away by saying, well, this guy was criticizing the president as a war, so it's not okay. No, that is wrong thinking. That way lies servitude.
So what if he was criticizing the president? Isn't that allowed?
That's exactly my point. Conservatives, Christians, very many of them will say, well, they're right to criticize this guy, and he should apologize because he's, well, you can't rationalize it when it's just because it's your side that mm-hmm. is on the receiving end. You know, it was all well and good to criticize Bill Clinton even while we were busy bombing Kosovo and Bosnia mm-hmm. because it was the other side who had a president in the Oval Office. But now that it's our president, it's not okay to criticize the guy who's in the Oval Office. Look, if you're a thinking conservative, a true conservative, and you really believe in smaller government and less government intrusion into your life, regardless of who sits in the Oval Office, you have to be consistent mm-hmm. and say, well, look, even though this is a Republican, I cannot go along with him on this side. You know, there are a lot of times that lately, the last year in particular, where I find myself agreeing with people that I really don't like all that much.
I know.
I mean, I like Kent Olbermann a lot better when he was doing sports than in his current job as a newscaster. I cringed when I find myself agreeing with people like Senator Patrick Leahy or Dick Durbin or Charles Schumer. And yet lately I find myself agreeing with things that they say. I don't agree with their politics. I don't agree with their stance on quite a few moral issues. But the fact is that the Republican Party is using Christianity mm-hmm. and duping Christians into going along with a program that runs counter to what most Christians say they believe and most Republicans say they believe. So, this is why we call it the rant. Feel better now.
Honey, you look 5 pounds thinner.
Was it carrying that much around with me?
You
been
were.
Saving it up all
yeah,
week.
Yeah, getting kind of stooped over.
Well, and see, you know, and this here's another example. Let's move on to the bill that the president signed, which House Democrats are calling a fundamental constitutional problem.
Yeah, it's okay if he doesn't tell us why he's doing things and how he's spying on people, but mm-hmm. we do get upset when he signs something we didn't pass.
Yeah, exactly. This is a story that we spotted a few days ago, and it came out in Raw Story, was the first mm-hmm. news site to pick up on this, but this is published in the Houston Chronicle. Associated Press put it out, but we got it in the Houston Chronicle, or Sharon found it in the Houston Chronicle, I should say, which is interesting, coming from
mm-hmm,
basically his
Texas.
Hometown. Henry Waxman of California, Nancy Pelosi, also California, the House Democratic leader, have signed a letter to the president asking him why the version of the deficit reduction bill that he signed was different from the one passed by the House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. So not only has the president gone, you know, with Patriot Act 2 and said, okay, here's what the bill says, but I don't think I have to comply with this part of it. Now with the deficit reduction bill, he's actually just changed the bill and then signed it.
Well, what happened is the Senate version of the bill said Medicare can pay to rent some types of medical equipment for 13 months.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
As intended by congressional negotiators, a clerk erroneously wrote down 36 months before the bill was sent back to the House for a final vote. And that's what the House approved on February 1st. By the time the bill was shipped to Bush, the number was back to 13 months as passed by the Senate.
Hmm. Well, that's
so it's a minor, you know, difference.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, why did the wrong bill get to his desk?
Why did the wrong bill get to his desk? And I don't see it in the story here, but in the version I saw earlier, the House communicated to the White House their concern that there was a difference. So presumably the White House was aware that there was a difference in the bills prior to its signing by the president, and he went ahead and signed it anyway. So it doesn't appear that the president was actually changing it for any political advantage or because he liked the new version better. It's just apparently he didn't feel that he had to worry about the niceties of sending it back to the House and getting it corrected or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, may have something to do with the fact that it was a budget bill.
Hmm.
It's an interesting thing, too. The other day when he was asked by, you know, he's had day after day after day of public forums where the public, you know, mm-hmm. you and I, people such as you and I, have been able to ask him questions.
Mm-hmm.
He was asked about the budget, about spending. If you're a conservative, why are you spending so much? And he said, what people don't seem to realize is that with the exception of security issues,
mm-hmm.
I have actually lowered the amount that we're spending.
That's a lie.
Well, what he said by saying that is I have reduced money going to domestic issues. And where the war is concerned, we can't include that in that. If you don't count the war, then I've reduced spending.
I am going to go back and look at the numbers. In fact, I posted something like this on my blog maybe a year and a half ago. I'm going to go back, dig it out, and do some more research onto it. He may not know that he's lying. He may be telling what he believes to be the truth. But but as of the end of his first term or somewhere around there, and I can't remember when I posted this, but an analysis of the budget showed that in terms of discretionary non-military spending, the budget had increased faster under the first term of George W. Bush mm-hmm. than under any president since FDR.
Well, that could very well be. And it seems to me that you're right on
right.
that.
Right. So it was not connected to the war. It was on domestic issues.
But I guess my point is, even if he's telling the truth,
mm-hmm.
he's saying it's okay if we spend, as long as it's on the war.
Okay.
At least that's the subtext of what I heard in
okay.
his reply. It was an odd reply. If you don't include the security things, I have reduced spending.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And like I said, I'll do some digging on that because
I'm curious to see that.
I am pretty sure that that is just flat wrong.
Well, you don't mean that he would... No.
No.
He's Barbara Bush's son.
Well, see, he may think that he's actually telling the truth, but numbers tell a different story. The fact is that that non-military spending has increased faster under this president than under any Republican or Democrat president going back to FDR.
Well, you know what I find is that he speaks off the cuff poorly.
Yeah. Now, he's
not stupid.
He's not stupid, no. People who know him and who work with him always say that he's, you know, an intelligent guy. He's a smart guy. Just being smart doesn't mean you speak well in public.
Now, what he's being, and I will say this in his defense. I will say this in the defense of anyone sitting in that Oval Office as President of the United States and being asked any question conceivable.
Mm-hmm.
It's like being the CEO of 100 or more companies and being asked to give an answer about any tiny portion of any of those companies.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do it.
No.
And that's why you have so many people around you when you're the president of the United States. The problem is when you're the target of these, you know, these question and answer sessions, these little round table discussions in small communities,
mm-hmm.
you can be asked anything.
Yeah, and you can't, use your lifeline.
Well, you know, they didn't show the back of his suit, and I would like to know if he did have a little help there
during the debate. Yeah, the little the conspiracy theory, and when you looked at the picture, there did look like there was a receiver or something
exactly,
in the back of his suit.
Exactly, that he was actually being fed answers.
Yeah.
And then there were those that said, no, he had a back brace on, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. But,
well,
you know, there's another story that's in Watcher magazine today that I think is just really, it's horrendous, and it's a story about China, and I'm looking for, trying to find the... I'm on the wrong page. China executes a woman for trafficking 31 baby boys.
Oh.
apparently this is a big thing over there because they have the one child rule over there.
Right,
and
yeah.
Because male children are valued far above female children. Mm-hmm. If they can only have one, it has to be a boy.
Mm-hmm.
So if all you have are girls and you're only allowed one, then you get rid of your girls, let them be trafficked off someplace else, mm-hmm. and buy a boy.
Yeah. And that's really, well, that's sad.
Yeah.
And it creates some very interesting, well, not interesting, so not the right word. It creates some very difficult social pressures because the ratio of men to women in China is very high.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with all those excess guys?
Well, I think the answer to that is obvious.
You send them into the military.
Exactly. You have disposable mm-hmm. soldiers.
Right. So that's kind of an ugly situation. We're doing a deal with a company tied to China, apparently. And this relates to the Dubai issue and the ports issue, like getting back around to that. And I think this is just really weird. Well, not weird.
I think the average American would go, huh?
What
are we doing again?
Well, first of all, I mean, the headline to this story caught my eye, and I thought, now, what was he thinking? Chertoff, Michael Chertoff, Secretary of Homeland Security, says...
For now.
Yeah, for now. That the U.S. would have been safer with Dubai Ports World operating those 21 ports. And, of course, they've since backed away from that deal, so they would sell off this portion of their purchase of the Peninsular and Oriental mm-hmm. company from Britain to an American company. And Chertoff is saying that we missed an opportunity to make our shores safer
mm-hmm.
by driving away.
Because the Dubai Ports Port World DPW,
mm-hmm.
it sounds like a motor oil or something, that they would have, because of their global reach.
It's the sailor's edge.
They would have been able to enforce security in all of the ports, or many ports, worldwide. Mm-hmm. In other words, we'd have a nice global reach, global regime.
Uh-huh. I think he's blowing smoke.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that it was Michael Chertoff, when he was with the Department of Justice, that put a stop to the investigation into terror financing regarding the software company P-TECH.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But look at the language he uses. That's why I used the word regime. He does. He says, the oddity of this is the irony of sorry about that. Let me back up. We could actually have built in some additional assurances which would have given us more security in the wake of the deal than we had before the deal, Chertoff said. The irony of this is that had the deal gone forward, we would have had greater ability to impose a security regime worldwide.
Hmm. That is really odd.
Isn't that an odd turn of phrase?
Yeah, and this was a speech that he gave before the Council of Foreign Relations, which, of course, is who he answers to anyway. So.
Yeah.
But what's bizarre is while he's telling us that we would have been safer with Dubai Ports World running our ports, meanwhile, we turned over the operation of the port at, Freeport? No. Freeport in the Bahamas, the Chinese company Hutchison Whampoa Limited has received a no-bid contract to handle radiation detectors at the ports in the Bahamas. They're going to be scanning shipping cargoes going through the port there, 65 miles away from Freeport, which is, of course, a popular vacation destination.
Mm-hmm.
Hutchison Whampoa, based out of Hong Kong, of course, has ties to the Chinese military. And they are that's the company that operates the ports at both ends of the Panama Canal and the port, if I'm not mistaken, at Long Beach, California, or just south of Long Beach.
Probably.
Yeah. Hutchison Whampoa is a big, big company and probably the biggest competitor to Dubai Ports World for mm-hmm. Port operations around the country. Huge shipping company. And here we are, you know, we're driving DPW away from our shores, arguing that we should have had him in here anyway because it would have made things safer. And meanwhile, in the Bahamas, Hutchison Whampoa is winning a no-bid contract.
Well, in the article, which was posted at ABC News, but of course is from the AP, Associated Press, mentions that there was a second no-bid contract given out to a Philippine company, but it doesn't name the company.
Hmm.
And that company will install radiation detectors in the Philippines.
Huh. Well, it just makes you wonder. why are...
It's a one-world thing. It's economically one world.
Yeah. Well, if we talked about last night, it's an oligarchy, and clearly the businessmen have very little regard for national boundaries or homeland security, for that matter.
Yeah.
It's all about breaking down barriers so as to do business with fewer barriers in between companies.
Well, here we have to worry about bunker security, and that's why we'll give you an update on Java. She's 3 months old as of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
She's so well, you'd never know she'd been sick. She's growing like a crazy little puppy does. She looks like a small bear.
Yeah, which is appropriate because here, you know, we're not far from the Ozarks, and black bears are making a resurgence in the Ozarks. Java obviously believes she is one.
Yeah.
She's looking forward to that because she knows bears are bigger than Murphy. So she's looking forward to the day when she can just kind of roll Murphy around on the floor like he does to her now.
When she's a full-grown bear.
Yeah.
And you know what? We talked about many movies on PID Radio, but I'm going to recommend a movie that you could probably rent or buy as a DVD in the stores right now. It's just a sweet movie. It's not political. It's not conspiratorial. It's just a good family movie. The March of the Penguins. Nicole and I watched that this afternoon, and I tell you, God, I get misty-eyed when I see those little fluffy, fuzzy baby penguins. And the things that these penguins go through, it's amazing camera work. And the love, the true attachment and devotion that you see between the parents
mm-hmm.
is really touching. So if you just want a good, you know, warm the cackles of your heart kind of movie,
mm-hmm.
watch The March of the Penguins this weekend.
Well, that sounds like a good plan. We're going to watch, I don't know what we're going to watch tonight, but we're going to watch some fun stuff on the, the Aardman stuff, the guys who create Wallace and Gromit have a show on BBC America.
On BBC America.
Called Creature Comforts.
It's 10 Eastern
mm-hmm.
on Friday nights.
Yeah, which means by the time you get this podcast, it will probably be over, but make a note for next weekend. If you get BBC America on your TV, on your cable system, be advised that some of the other Friday night programming on BBC America is not family friendly.
It's not either.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank everybody for listening, getting through another week with us. And we also want to thank everybody for your comments. We love getting them. Send us more at radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
Yes. And of course the forum is especially active this week. We have to point out that, peeringintodarkness.com/forum, the interview that we did with Janet Phelan this week about what she calls the Public Extermination Project has generated more comments than any interview that we've done previously.
And more comments than my hair got.
Yes.
which is astounding.
Astounding.
It's hair-raising.
But, and there were some very good observations made. One of the thoughts that was consistent in the comments was that this appears to be a routine upgrade. I mean, as mm-hmm. water pipes age, they collect gunk, sort of like, you know, arteries around your heart.
Yeah.
And so this is just part of a routine upgrade. And
pray that that's all it is.
I pray that it is too. And Janet has sent us an email and said that because of the interviews, she's received a couple of emails back and forth. There's people who are going to help her and made some good suggestions about how to proceed with the investigation. But the thing I keep coming back to is if this was, in fact, just a routine upgrade, why was the Department of Power and Water so reluctant to answer her questions? And you don't have to take her word for the reluctance of the engineers at DPW or DWP. Go to Watcher Magazine. The link was in the show notes for the last couple of nights, and you will see the scanned documents that she received from the Department of Water and Power,
mm-hmm.
basically telling her, we don't use those valves, never heard of those valves, and we're not doing any work. Oh, okay, we are doing work, but we can't talk about it because it's covered by Homeland Security.
Yeah, you know, and there may be nothing more than they just chose to give a really poor answer.
Yeah.
You know, it's just hard to say. Again, our prayer is that there's really nothing to this.
Right.
But it sure seems fishy.
It does. And again, feel free to chime in on that at the forum or anything else that we discuss. And a good group of people there. All ideas are welcome as long as they're presented with gentleness and respect.
Mm-hmm.
And next week we've got a great interview with paranormal investigators.
It's paranormal week.
Yeah. Because
FBID. We're heading up on April 1st, so we've got to get into more of a paranormal mindset.
We are a paranormals. We're not weird
in
any way.
We're both normals.
That's
yeah.
right. So
Abby,
next week,
you know, Abby Normal upstairs.
New England Anomalies Research. Carl Johnson, Keith Johnson. Carl was not available, but Keith and his wife Sandra, mm-hmm. and one of their associates,
Chris,
who handles some of their tech stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have seen these folks on some of the episodes of Ghost Hunters on the Sci-Fi Channel. They're sort of the demonologists on call.
It was a really, really good interview. It's so interesting the stuff they do, and they go in from a scriptural point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And they are on call for the guys, Ghost Hunters, TAPS team.
Mm-hmm.
And you should go to their websites this weekend. It's near.s5.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's S and then the number 5.com, near.s5.com.
Right.
Go there because there is a link to on the page to audio. And you can listen to MP3s online mm-hmm. of the audio evidence that we talk about. Next week.
Right. And we will be playing some of the EVPs that they've collected on site. And we will also put links to some of the photographic evidence that they've collected as well. They go in, like the guys on Ghost Hunters, with the electronic gear to try to collect evidence of paranormal activity. The difference is, again, that they approach the evidence of the paranormal with an understanding that there are only two sides in this battle, mm-hmm. if you will.
This is a spiritual battle.
Right. And that when you're dealing with a spirit in a house, it is not the ghost of somebody who used to live there.
It's not Uncle Fred, folks.
No. So anyway, it's a very very interesting series of interviews, and we'll have that for you next week on PID Radio.
Yeah, you know, by the way, up until then and all through next week or any time, but especially during this next week or so, if you have experienced something where you live or perhaps visited somewhere where you have experienced a possible apparition, which, of course, as we've talked, we do not believe that's Uncle Fred. Please let us know. Send us a note at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. We'd love to know about this, and maybe the next time we talk to the people from near, we can perhaps give them a
share. Share your stories. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, until Monday, then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Gonna step up to the microphone. Say it loud.